Bruce Wolf and Dan Prost in for Don Wade and Roma.
And we are joined right now by the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Congressman Dave Camp of Michigan. Thanks for joining us this morning, Congressman.
Well, good morning, Bruce. Dan, great to be with you.
Well, it's great to talk to you. And I guess the first question is are we going to have a government shutdown? And the second one is, do we have the appetite to really go after entitlements?
Well, I think we're all trying to work toward a solution to avoid a shutdown. And this proposal of 2 weeks of reducing spending by about $4 billion, I think is a good faith offer because it draws on programs or areas that President Obama suggested be reduced in his budget. And that's why I think you're seeing, at least in the House, some bipartisan agreement on this. I'm hopeful the Senate will do that because we do need to avoid closing down the government by the end of the week and actually working toward a long-term answer. As you said, because there was no budget adopted for the first time since 1974 by either the House or the Senate last year, we're left with this hangover from last year that we're trying to deal with. But we really need to move forward on next year's budget and the policies that will help really grow this economy and create jobs. And I think that's what the American people want us to do.
But even the short-term spending cuts, if they were adopted in toto by the Democrats, GAO is out with a report today suggesting that there's between $100 to $200 billion in duplicative spending going on at the federal government level right now. So, I mean, even the $60-odd billion that has been proposed by House Republicans, is that really enough spending cuts?
Well, it's a start. And that was about this year. We also have to look toward next year. And this is the first report on duplication that is that came out today and really does look at programs, agencies, initiatives that are being duplicated around the government. And this is in legislation. Senator Tom Coburn was a real advocate for this, and I think it will help give us a blueprint of things that we need to do. People want a more efficient federal government. The American taxpayer has been very generous over the years, but we need to reduce the size of the federal government because we need to grow our private sector economy. And anything the government has, it takes from individuals or businesses. And we need to grow our economy, and we can do that by reducing our debt and reducing the size of government.
Ways and Means, you know, when I was growing up, was considered a very important post, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. What, was Wilbur Mills the chairman of Ways and Means back in the day?
Well,
I know Dan Rostenkowski
was.
It's a big, big deal, Congressman. So, you know, you're sitting in the big chair there. What are you going to do? And I know you've already introduced significant legislation, but what are you going to do going forward?
Well, I get a lot of help. I got two strong members from Illinois, Peter Roskam from Wheaton and Aaron Schock from Peoria. So I've got a lot of help from Illinois on this committee. But I'd like to very much focus on fundamental tax reform. I think when you look at the fact that our code is so complex, it's 10 times the size of the Bible with none of the good news. It takes Americans 6 billion hours to comply with the code. In terms of businesses, we're not competitive. We're in a global economy. Other countries have dramatically changed their tax laws. We haven't. We're behind. We need to address this. I think there is some chance that there could be some bipartisan support for this. Obviously, we can't do tax reform without that. The president said some good things. I'm hopeful. My first hearing was on tax reform. We got another one this week. I think this is something that we really need to do to have a pro-growth code that will help our economy.
Well, what can we concretely? I mean, what can you actually accomplish? Because I've heard about tax code reform, you know, for generations now. Why do you think there's going to be the impetus for any kind of significant tax code reform? And concretely, what can we expect in the next term?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One, it hasn't been done for about 25 years, so we're due. Secondly, the current tax provisions expire in 2012. So again, we're facing another deadline where taxes will go up significantly if we do not act. And third, we've got this lingering recession. We've got 21 months of 9% or above unemployment nationally. So all of these factors say, look, we need to start looking at ways we can get our economy back on. And I didn't mention the debt. It's 100% of our economy. And as a member of the Debt Commission, when debt gets to that level, it affects economic growth by about 1%. In America, that means about 1 million jobs. So we have lots of reasons to try to find a pro-growth tax system that will help small businesses grow and prosper. And just this week, we're going to repeal, finally, in the House, this 1099 requirement that was in the health care law that was just this onerous administrative burden on particularly small businesses that really will take their focus off the jobs they're doing and having to just file paperwork with the government. So
what are some of the other big ideas in this tax reform space that are at least under consideration or been presented for debate?
Well, one of the things is lower rates. We're one of the highest countries in the world in terms of that. We are the only country virtually left with a worldwide system of taxation. Every other country's gone to a territorial system. Our code, as a result, is complex. People are suggesting simplifying that as well. And so these are some of the ideas we're going to talk about and see if we can get any agreement.
Yeah, but President Obama said, it was just temporary, giving the rich, the so-called rich, their break. So, I mean, we'll have to see, you know, what the results are in the next election to see where that's going. But, I mean, it just seems so difficult to get rid of, to make some basic structural changes.
Well, I think raising taxes on anybody right now is the wrong thing to do. And one of the things that they often ignore is a lot of people who file at that level isn't just a salary. It is a small business because we have this concept of pass-through entities. And that's how many of our businesses are organized now. And so I think to suggest that this is just people who have a big fat salary and they can send it in ignores the fact that half of that income is small business income. And they're actually operating a business and hiring others with that. But this lingering recession, clearly spending our way out of it didn't work. We didn't see the jobs that were promised, but we aren't competitive in terms of business taxes. We're going to start there, but the individual side is also complex, and we need to find ways to make it fairer, simpler. And again, it's going to be an effort, but we need to start talking about it.
The conversation that's kind of dominating national discourse right now is, of course, public sector unions with the showdown in Wisconsin and, frankly, other states. Have you been getting any pressure from states that I think collectively have unfunded pension liabilities, public pension liabilities in excess of $1 trillion? Are you getting any pressure or is a part of conversation in the House about states looking to the federal government for support, either in terms of cash or legislative flexibility?
Not so much on the pension issue. I think that's really being addressed state by state. I think many states have balanced budget amendments. They're required to do that, and I think some are looking for not just a one-year change, but something longer term. But I do think we need to look at ways to reduce all of this red ink all over the country, not only in the states but also at the federal level. It's been pretty well documented. Federal workers don't have the right to collectively bargain, and so this is something that the governor of Wisconsin believes is right for his state, and that's going to be a matter for him and the people who elected him.
Congressman Dave Camp, thanks very much for joining us.